We'll take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. We are looking at the chapters of Jesus. So we're going to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I think this is maybe the seventh parable that we are looking at. So I want you to think on this thought. I want you to think on sowing and stretching. Sowing and stretching. And you'll see where we're going to when we read the text. And so our Lord here, again in this parable, in line with parables. Remember, a parable means to cast alongside. And so he is casting an earthly story alongside a heavenly truth so we can understand that heavenly truth. And he is about to talk to us about sowing and stretching. And so our Lord, the greatest teacher that's ever lived, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are so thankful we have his word and we can look at. But Matthew 9:16, the Bible says this, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the rent is made worse, the hole is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." So let's talk a little bit about what our Lord is talking about. He's talking about sowing and stretching, but before we look at the details of that, let me just tell you what he's specifically talking about. He's specifically talking about the gospel. And if you want to get real technical about it, he's talking to the Pharisees. And he's talking to Jews and those who practice Judaism. And so remember, Judaism had transformed itself into a religion that was no longer about the Lord their God, who delivered them from Egypt and led them through the wilderness and so forth and give them the promised land. But it had become about rules and procedures and doing things man's way. God gave man 10 commandments, and what the Jews did with those 10 commandments, they created 617, I believe it is, 617 laws based upon God's 10 commandments, things that you had to do and not do and do this and do that. And so, sadly, there's many religions today that tell you you have to do this if you want to go to heaven, or you have to do that if you want to go to heaven. There's Baptist denominations today. You can't be a part of their church or their church family unless you do certain things, because they have these rules that you have to go by. And what Jesus is talking about here, he's like, I have come, and I'm about to present to you something you've never seen before, something you've never heard before. We're not going to be talking about the law, but this is about grace and mercy, and Christianity is eventually what comes from his death, burial, and resurrection. He's introducing himself in a new concept to Judaism and to the Pharisees, that religion is not about laws and rules and procedures, but it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's what it's about. And sadly, that's what's lacking today among many believers. They want to be part of a church. They want to be part of activities, but they lack a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants. He wants to save us, but then every day he wants a relationship with us, where we walk with him and we talk to him and we report in every morning for duty and see what his assignment is for us. But anyway, so let's look at what our Lord's saying here. So the verse number 16. What he's talking about, verse number 16, is this. He's talking about an old garment that has a hole in it. And he says, no man takes that old garment with a hole and puts a new patch on that old garment's hole. Because he said, if you do that, then what's going to happen if you wash it and it shrinks. I should back up probably. So you got to remember the time period. Today we live in a time of pre-shrunk clothing. Everything's pre-shrunk when you buy it. And in that day, stuff was not pre-shrunk. So they've got an old garment that's been washed over and over and dried, and it's shrunk down. It's not going to shrink anymore. And so they take a new patch, a new piece. They didn't have these modern day iron-on patches or whatever, but they take a new piece of material and patch on that old garment. So now when it's washed, what's going to happen is the garment's already shrunk and it's not going to shrink anymore. But what's going to happen is that new patch is going to shrink up and it's going to pull the material from around that hole, and it's going to make that hole bigger and it's going to make it worse. And so that's what our Lord is talking about in verse number 16. And so one of the things he wants us to see is that he didn't come to patch up the old. In fact, you can't patch up the whole. You can't patch up the old. And that's the point of his parable in verse number 16. Try all you want to, but you cannot take a new patch and put on an old hole because it's going to make the old hole worse. And so what he's wanting us to know is not only can you not patch up the old, but he didn't come to simply patch up our lives. And so, that's what some people want when they come to Jesus. What they want is they want just a temporary fix for their problems or for their trouble. And so our Lord is very clear in this right here. He didn't come just to do a patch job on our lives. What he wants to do with our lives is he wants to bring wholeness to our lives. He wants to bring wellness to our lives. He wants to make us complete in him. But what we do oftentimes is, and I see this so, so many times, and I have through the years. But I'll see somebody come to church or come back to church after being out for a long time, whatever the case may be, and I'll get to talking with them. Well, come to find out, there's been some kind of road bump in their life, whatever it may be. Maybe it's been a terrible medical diagnosis. Maybe it's been something with a child, something at work. You know, maybe they had a near-death experience or whatever the case. And unfortunately, many times I see people, they come running to the church, trying to find the Lord. And it's only temporary. It's only temporary. All they're looking for is just a patch job. That's all they're looking for whatever the problem is in their life. They're turning to the Lord for just a patch job. And what our Lord's saying in verse number 16 is, he's saying, look, I didn't come for patch jobs. I didn't come just to try to fix the old with a temporary type solution. Now, thank God, God is so gracious to us when we come to him with troubles. We can be backsliders, but when we come to him with troubles, he's so gracious and kind that he'll step in and he'll meet our needs so often and so many times. But he's not doing it just to be a God who does temporary or a God who's trying to patch things up here and there. But he's doing it in hopes that we will see and reverence his grace in our life and that we will let him just take over our life and make us whole. But sadly, there's many today who, they're turning to Jesus and running to Jesus. Maybe they're even watching online tonight. Check in with us online from time to time, but really all they're tuning in for is it's been a bad day or a bad week, and I just need a little dose of Jesus, and everything will be all right, and they get it, and they're good for a while longer without ever turning back to that relationship to him. And so our Lord, in the sowing aspect of this text, he's letting us know, look, I didn't come to patch up the old, and he didn't come to just fix the things that were broken in Judaism or fix things that were wrong with the Pharisees and their way of living and their way of religion, so to speak. He didn't come for that. He came to revolutionize, not even revitalize, but just revolutionize the Jews thought about their God. And so that's verse number 16. He's not here to patch up the old, He's not interested in temporary fixes, but he's interested in complete wholeness of you and I. And that's the thing about our Lord. He's not just interested in fixing us spiritually, because the Bible says we're all dead in our trespasses, that when we're lost, we're all dead in our trespasses and sin, that we've all sinned, and that we are strangers to him. And then God convicts us, draws us to him. We hear the word preached, taught, whatever the case may be, and we give our life to him to be saved by his grace, and then we start living for him. And we sell ourselves out to him. That he's not just interested in fixing the spiritual where he deals with our lost condition and that's it. But he's literally interested, and it's used over and over in the miracles of Jesus, in wholeness in our lives. And so he not only wants to heal us spiritually, but he wants to heal us emotionally. He wants to heal us intellectually. He wants to heal us mentally. Like, our Lord is so in love with us. He loves us so much that he doesn't just want to fix one aspect of our being. And that's why in the miracles of our Lord, when he dealt with so many different people with great needs in their life, there are some of those needs that went far deeper than just the surface. Some of those needs, these people, some of them had lifelong needs and lifelong issues. And so what the Lord does is, in the wording of the text, is interesting in those miracles, where it makes it very clear that Jesus didn't just heal the spiritual man, but he healed this individual physically. He healed this individual mentally and emotionally. Wholeness is a very clear subject matter when we're talking about the miracles of Jesus. So what he's wanting us to know is you can't... He didn't come to patch up the old, but look in verse number 17. Now, let me explain this. So, verse number 17, his point is this. Verse 16, the point was he didn't come to patch up the old. Verse number 17, he wants us to know that the old is to be replaced by the new. Now, in verse 17, he says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Now, so we got to get our mind away from plastic Coke bottles and glass bottles. We got to think about what they used in those days, and that was wineskin. So they put new wine into new skins. And as that new wine, new grape juice, began to ferment, and the fermentation was much different than what we have today, and I'm not even running that trail on alcohol and all that. I believe the Bible teaches a teetotaler position. I believe it teaches that... total abstinence, but that's a whole other conversation. But Jesus says, and in that day, they take new wine, new grape juice, put it in a new skin. It begins to ferment because that new wine skin is flexible and new. It can expand as the fermentation takes place inside of that bottle. And those gases begin to build up and so forth. Boy, I had an uncle one time, and one of his pastimes was kind of making some homemade type brew, if you know what I'm talking about. And he was very good at it. And one day, my cousin and I, we were about 14. We'd been outside playing, and we were hot, and we come running in, and there was two jars of what we thought was grape juice sitting there. And I noticed that when we took the top off, there was a little, and I didn't think nothing about it. But I didn't know my uncle was in the process of making some homemade wine. And my cousin and I both, we turned that up as fast as we could, and about three gulps later, we're looking at each other with big eyes, and we realized we had got something that we didn't know we were getting. And so that fermentation process takes place, and because it's a new skin, it stretches and expands. Put the new in the new. And Jesus says you can't take new and put it in the old wineskins, because as soon as they're already stretched out and worn. And so when those gases begin to expand that wineskin, it busts. And that's what Jesus has says here in verse number 17. But he says, if you put the new into new, then he says the wineskin and the wine are now preserved. So what he wants us to know is this, is that the old is to be replaced with the new. So literally, let's talk about what he's talking about. He's talking about Judaism. And he's wanting the Jews to know, look, that old way of the Mosaic law, that's gone now. I've come to replace that. It's no longer about religion, but it's about a relationship with me and trusting in me as your Savior, which the Jews still haven't done to this day. They're still waiting on Christ to come the first time. And we know that he's going to come back the second time for those that believe and trust in him. But he wanted us to know in verse 17 that the old is being replaced with the new. And he was trying to bring the Jews along and get them to see that. And of course, we know they hated him. They hated Jesus because he was sincerely interested in revolution. He didn't come just to patch some things up or to fit in with the status quo. He came to bring total revolution to the Jewish people. He was the promised Messiah for the Jewish people. And so that's the literal thought. And he wants us to know that the old is to be replaced with the new. And listen, we can bring that on down to our lives. And so that's our lives when Jesus comes into our life, is he doesn't want to patch up the old. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want a temporary fix. But what he wants, verse 17, is something completely new in us, a new life. Here's what I believe, and this is very clear from this text and from other teachings in the Bible, because we see it lived out over and over as we read the salvation and conversion experiences of people in the New Testament and in the book of Acts. But I believe when God saves a man, I believe that man or woman or boy or girl becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I believe even at times the new is so radical that it's like it's not even the same individual at all. And I just believe that there's change in a man's life whenever he gives his life to Jesus Christ. I remember when my last pastor, when I went there, I was just a very, very young man. And one of the deacons there at the time, I learned so much from this man, but I don't even remember how long I've been there, just a matter of maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months. I kept hearing this man's name mentioned in our prayer room. And one day, my deacon calls me, or he catches me at church, but he says, listen, he said, we need to go see this man. He calls him by name. And he said, he's never been saved. And he said there's been some preachers went to see him because the man had actually had a very bad deer hunting accident. He fell out of a tree stand and broke his back in several places and just barely survived that. But he had been visited over and over. People in the community had visited with him, witnessed to him. He'd never been saved. And so I think we had scheduled, for some reason I know the days, that's the way my mind works, but we were going to go on a Tuesday evening. And I told that deacon, I said, you call this man and, make sure everything's good to go for Tuesday. And he calls me back and he said, Tuesday wasn't going to work now. And I said, that's okay. I'm not worried about it. That's fine. I said, because God's working this out in his time. And so it turned out that we went on Thursday. But we walked into this man's home. He welcomed me in. His wife was there, and she had been saved, but we visited for a short time, and I began to witness to the man, and he acknowledged that he had never been saved, and he was very, very willing and eager to give his life to Jesus Christ, and I just happened to be able to come in because somebody else had planted some seed there, and somebody else had come along and watered the seed that was there. And I was just blessed that evening to get to be the one who got to harvest all of the work and labors of other people. And so I shared Jesus with him, and he wanted to be saved. And so we prayed, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so we rejoiced, and myself and that deacon, we left. And when we rode down the road, I told him, this was on a Thursday, I told him, I said, I told the young man whenever, after we had led them to the Lord, I said, now look, church starts at 10. We won't see you there. And that's Sunday school. your average Baptist don't show up to 11 in your traditional Baptist church because they skip Sunday school. But I said, you know, we'll see you at church. He said, I'll be there. And so I told that deacon while we were driving down the road, I said, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to see if this is real or not. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock rolls around, and that man was there, and he was ready for church. And he come back on Sunday nights, and he come back on Wednesday nights, and his life was entirely different. It wasn't his old life. He wasn't never a bad man. He just was not saved, and he didn't go to church, and he didn't live his life for the Lord. But the old wasn't just patched up, because Jesus says that don't work. I'm not interested in temporary fixes. The old wasn't just renovated. The Lord's not interested in renovations in our life. He's interested in revolution in our life, where he changes our life altogether. But this man had a new life, and that's what the Lord is interested in. He's interested in saving us, making us his, and so revolutionizing our lives that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The word is in the book of Hebrews that really what Jesus is speaking of here in verse 17. So in verse 17, what the Lord's talking about is, I have come to replace the old altogether, and I want all things to be new. And by the way, the Lord is a master at new beginnings, particularly in the life of a lost man who gives his life to Jesus Christ. He is a master of new beginnings. And so that's what the Lord's talking about here, is that the old has to pass away. The old man has to die, and let me give you new life in me, is what the Lord is saying. And so he's kind of foreshadowing and painting to us a word that is found over in the book of Hebrews. And the verse says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the verse goes on, but be ye transformed. And so what that word literally means, it finds its root in the word where that we call metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is what happens to that caterpillar when it crawls up on a limb. As a little worm, makes itself a cocoon, and after a certain amount of time, he begins to make his way out of that cocoon, and he's no longer a caterpillar. In fact, he doesn't resemble a caterpillar at all. He's got these beautiful wings, and now he can fly. He's a totally different creature. He goes in that cocoon as a worm. He doesn't just get patched up. He doesn't come out after a long winter's nap and still look like a worm. He doesn't work out while he's in that cocoon. He doesn't come out with muscles and muscle bound. No, nothing like that. But what happens is this metamorphosis, this transformation, if you will. He goes in a worm, but he comes out a beautiful butterfly that flies around the air and lands on our flowers and so forth and all that. A total different creature, if you will. And that's what the Lord's talking about in Matthew 9:17, that he's interested in transformation in our lives, that the old must pass away and we must put on the new man. And thank God for the new man. Think about all of us who are saved by God's grace that are here on, say, Sunday mornings. Boy, if we could suddenly appear as the old man we used to be way back when, boy, there might be some fights in here on Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about? But God's made us new creations in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is very clear here. I didn't come for a temporary patch job. I didn't come just so I can fix little things that are broken and leave everything else the same. But what he wants us to know is very clearly from sowing and stretching is that the old things have passed away and all things are new. So we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say thank God for that. And I don't know about you, But when God saved me, I don't even know how I could come to him for a patch. I did try the patch job thing for a little while. I mean, I got under conviction and I was like, okay, Lord, fix this and then I'll be a better person. Everything will be fine. Or Lord, fix that and then I'll be a better person and everything will be okay then. So I tried that, but listen to me. There was so many things broken with me that patch jobs would not have worked. But what I needed was a Savior who would not only save my soul, but who would make me whole, who would touch every part of my being, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, my body, and he would bring wholeness. And I'm glad I turned to that Savior. And that's what he did. He revolutionized my life. He transformed me. I couldn't transform myself. There's no self-effort. And if you're watching online and you're trying some self-effort to fix what's wrong with you, that ain't going to work either. But what the Lord says is that I come that the old may be cast out and you may put on the new man through me. And so I look around. I've seen this guy actually twice this week. One time I went and met with him, but I've heard a little bit about his past. And I met him the first time the other day, but I've heard about his past from years ago. And which that don't matter to me. I don't judge, and I don't care what he did years ago. But I'd heard about his past and who he used to be. And boy, I want to tell you something today. This man that I met this week, he's just a man that loves Jesus. And I mean, he's in love with the Lord, and he's in love with ministry and giving himself in ministry. And he's not just an old man that's been patched or fixed up, but he's a man who's been touched by the Lord. And now he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so thank God. Thank God for his grace and mercy, for the parable of sowing and stretching, that he didn't come to patch up the old, but he very much come that the old may be entirely replaced with the new. So when you pray, thank God that he has made all things new in your life. You know what I often think about? I often think about where I would be today and what I would be today had Christ not saved me many years ago. Had I not been raised in a family that pointed me to Jesus, that believed in the Lord with all their being, I often wonder what I would be and where I would be today had the grace of God not intervened in my life and brought me into the family of God. And that, my friend, is something to shudder at, that thought, but it's something to thank God for, that we are where we are by his grace and only his grace. If you will, stand. Tell somebody you love them. You're praying for them. And thank you for joining us on Liberty Live. Come back Sunday morning and join us.